Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's B-Rod behind the glass. It is a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees. I had some tacos today. They were very good. Brian has as many days off as Palillo, somehow. He's not going to be with us today. He's not going to be with us tomorrow. I don't know how he had all these days off. Boston is behind the glass. Boston is a noted hockey fan. His team is the the Phoenix Coyotes or Arizona Coyotes?
Whatever they're calling them, the Coyotes.
What do they call them, B-Rod? They call them Phoenix or Arizona? I don't know. I'm not even a hockey casual. I'm a hockey noob.
They became Arizona in like my senior year of high school, I want to say.
So they went from Phoenix to Arizona?
Yeah.
That's weird.
All the way to Tacoma. Philadelphia. Atlanta,
is this a George
LA.
Strait song?
Eagle song.
What hat is that
Steve
wearing?
Steve Miller Band, sorry.
What hat is you wearing, B-Rod?
It doesn't match. I asked them about it already.
What is it?
It's another hockey hat.
Okay. It's the Memorial Cup. It's like the junior hockey championship between all the three leagues that they have up there.
I think that's a fair hat, then. It's not team-related, I guess. Now, he is a noted Phoenix, Arizona Coyote fan, and he's wearing a Philadelphia Flyer jersey. Or sweater, I guess you call
them. It is
them.
A sweater.
Bush League or not, Blankers? To wear another team's, like, there's already question if you should wear a jersey, period.
Right.
I'm okay. Like, I don't care how people dress. But should you wear another jersey, uniform, kit, sweater of a team that you don't root for?
I don't really. I wouldn't do it personally.
Yeah.
When I'm loyal to my teams, then I'm loyal to my teams, and that means if my team's in the same league, then I'm probably not going to do it. Now, the only exception would be if you like get an old school, like a Mitchell & Ness, or an old school of like a legendary Hall of Fame player, or a player that, you know, you always liked, then maybe that would be the case.
Who is that? Who is the jersey? Who or the sweater? My bad. I keep calling it a jersey.
It's Jake Van Riemsdyk. He was a player like he started there. He got traded to Toronto. Then he signed back.
And he's still in the league? He's still in the league?
Yeah, he's with the Bruins now, I want to say.
Oh,
I'm going Bush League on
this
one.
That's not a good one.
I'm going Bush League on this one, B-Rod.
My team did move to Utah, as famously noted.
When? So this offseason, right? How long have they been there? How long have they been out of the desert?
They just moved like end of this year. Like their last game was back in April.
So this last season. When did you purchase the jersey, the sweater?
I've had this for a while because I just...
Bush League. Mm-hmm. It's Bush League. I rest my case, Your Honor. I rest my case. Your Honor, Blank, Bush League or not. I've presented my case. Do you have any cross-examination, B-Rod? Anything you want to say in defense?
I did choose the Flyers as my potential new team now that they've moved, so I feel like that's some
vindication
for me.
Before or after the sweater? What, Your Honor, we need your ruling.
Yeah, the only caveat that I can go your way with some kind of lenience, Boston, is the fact that your team has abandoned the city, which you don't live in, that it played when you were a fan of there. So if you're looking for a new team, then that might qualify. However, the player that has the number and the name on the sweater that you're wearing plays somewhere else, so therefore I'm going to have to rule in the favor of Bush League.
I did go on eBay to get it because it was cheaper than buying it like brand new. So
that's better. It's still Bush League. It might be a cheaper Bush League.
I was going to say, you just bought yourself a cheaper version of Bush League.
Yeah. Sorry to pick on you there a little bit, B-Rod, but I'm a noted jerk, so there is that.
Don't worry, it's all good.
The Astros have been playing some good ball. They've won, what is it, 11 of 13, whatever the number is up to these days. They've started 4-2 in this 10-game road trip, which is very, very good, or 3-1, rather. I don't know where I'm adding these games. They're 3-1 so far in this 10-game road trip, so you're half to the win total that I think would be suitable for a 10-game roadie. They'll play today. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound. Jose Berrios will be opposite of him. Astros do have some injury notes, or at least one injury note and one other transaction note. JP France had surgery yesterday, I think it was. He's going to be out for a while. Google AI tells me 12 to 14 months on the shoulder surgery that JP France had. Maybe he can recover well. Who knows? And then they sent down Cooper Hummel and they brought up Greg Kessinger. So I think Espada wants some bench options that can play a little bit of infield. Like, he's probably looking yesterday where Jose Altuve gets a day off. Mauricio Dubon's in the starting lineup, and you look at your bench, and there is not an infielder in sight.
Yep.
So, yeah, and Cooper Hummel really isn't an option. Like, he tried to make fetch happen with Cooper Hummel, like, as a pinch hitter against lefties, and small sample, feel a little bad for Cooper Hummel, like, didn't have a real chance, but he doesn't necessarily belong on this 26-man roster.
No, agreed. And at this point in time, with the limited playing time, the logjam in the outfield, everything that is going this team's way, that you just need to make sure that you've got every literal base covered. And if you can get another infield on this roster, and he's probably not going to play a whole hell of a lot, but he does give you that insurance, then that's the right move to make, because I'm with you. Hummel's not a guy that's supposed to be on this roster right now.
Yeah, so minor moves there. Maybe the injury news on J.P. France, you're without another starter. Not that that was unexpected. We already found out he was going to be done for the year, but now it's going to go into about halfway through next year at minimum. At minimum. But the Astros are playing good. Three games back in the AL West. Seattle takes on Baltimore starting tonight as well. So we've had plenty to complain about in the first half of the year, whether it was Espada, whether it was Abreu, whether it was GM Jeff Bagwell, whether it was the non-general manager period of time for the Houston Astros, whether it was the bullpen, Presley. I mean, just go down the list. There's been plenty to complain about if you're an Astros fan in the first half of the season. But now that they're turning it around, it's a bunch of positivity. What is there left to complain about if you're an Astros fan? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What are you complaining about, Blankers? Sometimes we get called complainers on this show.
We do, and angry bees, and like I said, we're content for Paul every day when he looks for things that he needs to fill up a segment. So he goes to us because we call it like we see it. We know baseball. But at the same time, when I look at it, the laundry list has been cleaned up because the laundry list doesn't have Jose Abreu on it anymore. The laundry list doesn't need to include Rafael Montero anymore because he has been deleveraged to the point where, thankfully, we don't have to see him as much or worry about him, though he did do a nice 1-2-3 inning yesterday, which was helpful. I think if there's anywhere, you know, like we've talked about in the past, between Dana and the Crane gang, it's eased up because they're winning. Because Joe Espada, who probably, yes, there were some times you could point a finger, but as we talked about yesterday, probably didn't deserve to be on the firing lines with everything that was going wrong, with everything that this team was misstepping on. If there's one area you can look at, is it, or one and a half, is it pointing at Alex Bregman, and offensively, aside from the one big hit that got you the win on Saturday against the Mets, he admitted himself that he was in the midst of an 0 for 14 or 15 slump going into that hit, and coming out of it, he into two double plays the next day. He hasn't been great. We know that his contract is coming up. Is that something that people are going to still harp on, point a finger at, and they're going to be fired up about? Is it the fact that with the catching situation, you'd probably like to see Yiner Diaz continue to hit, but if it means he's not as good behind the plate, is that something that you still want to consider moving? And is first base the issue where you point the finger and go, they still need some help there? You know, the rumors are out there daily about, you know, getting another bat, getting a first baseman, finding someone that can help them more. But in the midst of all of this, if you're winning, how fired up are you about any of the above?
Yeah, I'm not really that hot about anything. Now, I do like to complain, and I'm a constant critic, so that's not going to go away. I critique in victory. I think it's silly when people, you know, kind of fair weather and bandwagon, and like everything is always great whenever you're all of a sudden winning a bunch of games. Not my style. The Bregman thing is not something that really bothers me a whole lot right now. Now, like, he's been hitting better. Like, his series against the Mets, it wasn't fantastic, but he had two knocks yesterday. He plays such a good defense, too, other than that error on Friday against the Mets, that it's hard to be too critical of Alex Bregman. Now, we can talk about, is he worth $30 million? Is he worth paying in the offseason, et cetera, et cetera? My answers to that are probably no and no. But I have a hard time being too critical of Alex Bregman. I'll be critical of situational stuff. Runner at second base, nobody out. You're not moving the runner. Like that stuff annoys me. Rafael Montero's a good one. Montero's been awful. Now, you can hide bad pitching. And Montero, I mean, we're sitting here talking negatively about Montero. Montero looked pretty good yesterday as he went three up, three down. I think the one thing that would stick out more than anything, and it's hard to say this because it's been a huge upgrade, is first base. They're still not getting great production from first base. Mauricio Dubon is not an everyday first baseman in Major League Baseball. Is he your best option? Yeah, he probably is. And you're trying to mix and match and try to find the optimal match. matchups for Dubon and John Singleton, and Singleton had a three-hit game the other day in a dong. Probably not an everyday. He's not. Not probably not. He's not an everyday first baseman. You currently don't have an everyday first baseman on this team. So I think if there's one thing that you can complain about, it's lack of production at first base. But at the same time, it's been an increase of production since you've released Jose Abreu.
That's the thing. It used to be that the sky was falling and everything was a black cloud and it was more rain on the way. Now, because you're winning, are people less likely to press the panic button or be as concerned with issues that are still an issue? Because I agree with you at first base. I think that they're still, you know, without, when you can say with offensively, they're doing much better. And again, they're putting runs on the board in crooked numbers, and you're going to get Kyle Tucker back. So that's going to help. But overall, as you look at this team to be complete before it gets close to chasing a playoff spot and then getting into the postseason, hopefully, you need some consistency at first base with some more pop, probably, and you'd like to free up Dubon to be your guy that can go Swiss Army knife wherever, whenever, but still get, you know, pretty frequent at bats.
Yeah.
But how far are you willing to go? Because everything has a price. You're going to want, if you're looking for a guy to play first base, what are you willing to give up to get a guy like that to possibly fill that one hole that's not as bad as it was?
Yeah, that's the difficulty of the position, because there's names that have been out there. We'll talk about, you know, the Vlad's been out there. Can you get a Josh Bell's been out there, but Josh Bell isn't great. Is it that much of an upgrade over Dubon and Singleton platooning at that position to give away the price of the prospect? Then you have to factor in the price of the prospect for the difference of production that you're going to get. Like, there's so many different variables. The Joey Loperfido situation, doesn't really seem like he's an option at first base. I know he played there the other day. He has not started at first base. That will continue today. So I don't even know if that's a likely name. So it's the difficulty of the position. But it's hard. I don't think fans are critical as much about lack of production at first base because of Jose Abreu. Mm-hmm. Because Jose Abreu set the lowest bar all time that, you know, anybody with a pulse and a heartbeat, and if you can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time, is an upgrade. So it's hard to be too critical of lack of production at that position when it has been a major upgrade.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The bar is lowered greatly because of how the bar was set at the start of the year with Abreu. But then when you look at it, look, Singleton had a good weekend. Singleton has actually been hitting the ball when he gets a chance to play. Dubon doing the same. You're not going to get power numbers seemingly consistently from either guy. Singleton's supposed to be that guy. He doesn't do that. But when overall, in the big picture body of work of John Singleton's not an everyday first baseman. He's just not. So are you willing to do anything, and what and how far are you willing to go to try and upgrade the position? Because, sure, you can throw all the big names out there, but that comes at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
And a premium cost with some of the names that are being thrown about. And I don't think that with the depth that you have, the success that you're having, that a lot of people are going to be as, go get him, go make this team better, when you start hearing the names that would probably have to be included in any deal for a guy that's going to be a rental for a year and a half, probably.
I don't know. Like, you start to mention the Vlad Guerrero, and people get pretty enticed by that name.
Right, but if I follow that up and say that means you're going to have to give up Joey Loperfido and one or two of your pitching prospects that are pretty close to major league level, or maybe one that's in the major leagues already, now are people going to be as overzealous?
Yeah, I think the casuals wouldn't care.
That's sad.
I don't think they, you know, most people don't prospect hug, to be honest.
No, they don't.
Most fans do not. I'm a bit of a prospect hugger, a bit. Most fans do not.
But at a certain point, when it's not a game changer, right? It's not like when the Astros went and got Verlander and you knew he was, you know, ready to mow them down, and he was the one missing piece you needed, but he was a stud. I mean, if you look in the case of he's up and down. Is he going to be the game changer enough that you've seen Loperfido at the major league level to know he's doing it. He can play on the next level. He's not a 4A type player so far. There are, you know, a lot of times when the prospects are given up, they're so early in their career, like in the Verlander deal with Detroit the first time, Daz Cameron and everybody else included in that deal really hasn't done anything. Even when you look at the Grinke trade and some of the other trades, there are guys that are okay, but you really didn't give up a whole lot at the end of the day in the big picture to get what you really needed. I don't know if you really need Vlad Guerrero or another big name, a guy at first base, if it means giving up some guys that are going to be part of your long-term future.
The importance of when you make a trade is that you have to win the trade. I know I sounded very Joe Georgie there, but if you have to make the determination, like you have to be able to adapt and you have to be fluid in the situation. For one trade, you might decide, well, the prospects that we're giving up are just too great. We can't make the trade. And then trade B comes around and it's, well, this is a good price. We don't love that we're giving up these prospects, but we like the return so much. And maybe these prospects we don't have graded out as being everyday starters in the big league. So that's where scouting comes into play. That's where your evaluation, that's where predicting the future has to come in play. Because I think you do need to be fluid. Like the Verlander trade, I actually like that trade, and you lost some critical prospects. You lost Clifford. You lost Gilbert. But Dana Brown would tell you, and I don't know if it's true, that he likes Jacob Melton more. The financial aspect of it has to come into play as well, because you're getting Justin Verlander at 50% off. So every trade is different.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the other thing, when you're talking about a team that's as cognizant of long-term deals, contracts, and stability from a financial aspect, you're right that you can have two scenarios on the table. And if it's a guy that you will have control of longer, that it's a more affordable deal for you, you're more willing to give up an extra prospect or two, or a guy that you might think highly of that you might otherwise balk at, because the other guy's going to give you almost like a rental a little over a year, and he's probably, for all intents and purposes, going to be gone because his price tag and the amount of years that he wants doesn't jive with your business model for how to run a baseball team.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. What is there left to complain about for the Strohs? 713-780-ESPN. Tuesday edition of the show. So cash him or trash him. Malik Hooker's running his mouth on Micah Parsons, and I kind of love it. Who are the five most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL? Get to that. Killer Bee Hive of Fame. Today we induct our very first class into the Killer Bee Hive of Fame. We're going to have to make this an annual deal, or maybe whenever somebody brings up a good nomination. We'll figure out the rules a little bit later. And then Glenn Davis is going to join us at 5 o'clock to talk about what is a failure of the U.S. men's national team. Everybody wants to bash Berhalter today, so we'll get our cracks in at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, Dana Brown, the Astros are the general manager. He said they had to cut the deficit in the division in half by the end of July. Well, they've done that for the most part. It's down to three games. 70% cut, if you're into the numbers. Where will this team be at the end of July, and what is there left to complain about with the Strohs? 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97. But enter with caution. We're on YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. You can find us there. You can find us on Twitter. Blankers is at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Grogan says first base needs to be addressed at the deadline. So there's one complaint from Grogan that first base needs to be addressed. We discussed that. It's complex. It's something that's a complex thing. 4554 says, is it worth it if you can win a championship? Things are impossible to predict. It's impossible to say, okay, this trade's going to win us a title.
I mean, that's the goal, right? So, you know, I think that changes everything. It should change everything for every fan of this team. If the trade's going to, you know, give you the, I don't want to say there's a guarantee to win a championship, but if it really increases it that much and puts you over the top, it's like the Verlander trade of the past. Why wouldn't you make that deal? Because it's so hard to win titles. This fan base has been so spoiled by this consistent run of this team. And even though they've lost World Series, I think they've gotten to the point where they don't realize just how hard it is and everything has to fall your way just to get there, let alone win it. And you saw in some of the losses where this team's faltered, it basically just was a lot of things with injuries at the wrong time, or guys like the pitching staff just faded at the wrong time. But overall, it's a challenge to get there every year. If you can get a guy that's going to be that kind of a difference maker.
But how can you predict that is the point.
You
like,
can't.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, the probability and the odds increase and all of that. Like, I get that part of it. But it's not as cut and dry as we're making trade X and we're winning championship A. It doesn't work like that. Gerrit Cole, who was dominant as a Houston Astro, has zero World Series titles. So, like, you can't just chalk up a trade, be like, well, we're going to win a title because of it. So I hate the whole, well, is it worth it if you win a title? If you win a title, sure. But how are you telling me it's a guarantee that you're winning a title? It ain't.
And that's, I guess, the point I was making, that it's no guarantee, no matter how good you think your team is. Because 2019 might be the best team that the Astros have had during this whole run. They didn't win it. So you look at it and you say, well, they should have. Yeah, but they didn't. So does that make it, you know, you have to take that into consideration. There are no guarantees. And the guys out there, are you getting a guy that's a bona fide superstar stud? Or is he, in the case of like a Guerrero, he's a big name. He's done the home run derby. He's done some things. But is he the kind of guy that brings everything to the table for you and says, he's going to make the difference in this team?
Yeah, it depends on the price. Like, somebody's texting us, what would it be the price? I have no idea. I have no clue. Some people do, like, that MLB trade value thing, which is the worst website that exists. I've seen trade offers that are fair on MLB trade value, and it makes my head hurt. 713-780-ESPN, 4490. I saw a recent post saying that Tucker is the issue because he's out. We're winning. Rolls eyes. Yes, rolls eyes. That is correct, 4490. You need to stop viewing where you're reading those posts. That is something I would suggest. And then we mentioned that we're going to have the killer bee Hive of Fame later. And this wise guy, 91898, an annual thing, huh? You guys won't be around next year. August? We started this show August what year? This is going to be our third
working
full
on our
year.
Third year. Yeah.
So it'll be year four starting like mid-August.
Are we working on our third year or we're going to
I think
our third
this
year?
Is our I think we're finishing up our third year.
Okay.
I think we're finished. I think I don't remember our show date, birthday, but it's August, somewhere mid-August. And I think we're going to beginning our fourth year of our radio existence as a radio show. So, yeah, 9198. We got receipts. Well, not receipts, but proof. 713-780-ESPN, 5044. What other first basemen are available? It's hard to tell right now because there's so many teams that are in the race. I'm going to make a trade deadline primer. Branham trade deadline primer on July 15th. Give it a little bit of time to let it settle a little bit. July 15th when the Branham primer will be out. 4583, can the Astros get Crochet from the White Sox? I seriously doubt it.
And at this point in time, is that who you're targeting? Because I don't think you should be. When we, you know, I heard Paul mocking us on the way in. But
yeah, you didn't like – what was Paul saying? I want to know.
He was like, you know, did you hear the Killer Bees again? I mean, here we go again with more of their – trying to, you know, I don't
trying
know
to what
he portrays us as these guys that are just trying to get clicks and he was building it up that
sounds
we were
jealous.
We were overblowing things. And when we were having the discussion of how high could a combination of Blanco and Brown be in terms of Major League Baseball on a 1-2 punch. And then they had to clean it up and say, well, they were honest in the fact that they weren't, you know, pushing it to be like, you know, guaranteed bona fide top three, top five. But at the same time, when you look at it and say, hey, at the start of the season, we didn't have either one of these guys penciled in to be top two rotational guys. So if you have those guys pitching like that and you're getting Verlander back at some point and you know that Fromber has the capability of pitching like that and you know that more help could be on the way with Garcia getting his second start in the minors, with McCullers still throwing in full uniform somewhere in places and destinations that we see on social media, but Arrighetti's in the mix and he's pitching very well. I don't know that Crochet should be your first target anymore.
He's extremely expensive.
Like, that too.
He's going to be extremely expensive. I don't think that the Astros have the system to trade for a Crochet if he's traded. And I don't know if the Blanco Brown thing's that crazy. Ronel Blanco should be an all-star. If he's not, he's going to be completely robbed. And Hunter Brown should be the pitcher of the month in June. So, like, you have a pitcher of the month and you have an all-star, and that's not a formidable 1-2? Tell me you don't know ball. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. He put you guys on Bat Take Boulevard on Ronel Blanco and Hunter Brown being top two, top five in the league. Name me two better. Name me a top two better than Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco. And you have to name me five better because we said top five. We didn't say the best. We said top five. And again, let's make it known that Ronel Blanco should be an all-star. And that Hunter Brown should be the pitcher of the month in June. So how many 1-2 combos have an all-star and a pitcher of the month on their arsenal, on their roster? Let me know. 713-780-3776. Dana Brown said they had to cut the, he said this a couple weeks ago, that they needed to cut the 10-game deficit in half by the end of July. Well, it's July 2nd. The deficit's now 3. Mm-hmm. Where will this team be at the end of July?
I think in my mind, I firmly believe that they're going to be first place in the division. I think that, you know, you sat yourself in the middle of this division, wallowing in third place, looking up at the Rangers and hoping to get somewhere close to them before you even sniffed trying to chase the Mariners down. And now you've got the Mariners players, even after wins, talking about and focusing on the Astros and worried about them because here they come again. And because of the fact that you should be a whole lot further back in the standings than you are, I think that 3 games between now and the end of the month, no matter how much I cash or trash the 8th, I think by the end of the month, this team is going to be, I'd say, 3 games up in first place.
Okay, I'm good. I like that better. No, I was laughing at the Twitch. Oh. Twitch is making fun of me for getting making things getting views and likes, which Granato accused me of, and they're just listing the things I do to do that. They're funny. I think that's in play. I think they should be in the lead of the division by the end of the month. It'd be nice to run away with this thing and kind of like position your. It's crazy that we're talking like this. I like that better than your July 8th in first place, although that's looking more and more likely the day.
And you guys have taught me about what's worthy of cash or trash-esque. And look, that, you know, at first glance, I was going to say the 15th, and I said no to really make it a true cash or trash that has some cachet to it. We'll take it to the 8th, and we'll take a flyer. And right now, as much as it seemed to be a little impossible at the start, Seattle's doing you a whole hell of a lot of favors, and who'd have thought that you'd be three games out, this close to that deadline, let alone the end of the month?
That Cash'em or Trash'em has a very real possibility of being the Hurricane Hawaii thing where we just blasted you. Like, no, you idiot. That doesn't happen. Oh, yeah, our bad. It does. Poncho says, into July, how about hitting the goal of July the 8th? So, Poncho's on your side. Hit the goal by July. That would be something. If that hits, that would be nuts.
I'd say by the end of the month, they're three games up in the division.
Yeah, I'll cash that. Yeah. I'm cool with cashing that.
Yeah.
Not even knowing the schedule, really.
No, yeah. And I know that August is going to be a tougher month for them schedule-wise. Because Paul told me on social media, but I'm not going to kibosh them for what they've done and the fact that Seattle's done you favors. I think this baseball team is way more capable and it's a better overall team than the Mariners. Yeah, their pitching's great. Their offense is terrible. Their center fielder has been a huge disappointment. And your disappointments are either gone in the case of Abreu, coming back to life in Bregman, and then you're going to add an all-star piece no matter what you do or don't do at the deadline with Tucker coming around the corner pretty soon, to where I think that you're going to be in a position to really kind of get there and then kind of put your foot down.
Yeah. 3-4-2-6, 3 years. Didn't think that this has been here this long. I like y'all together because you don't agree on everything, yet don't scream at each other. I hope y'all do stay around. That was only like once or twice.
Yeah, we've done it before. But I really thought we were going into our third year. We're going into our fourth year, huh?
I'm pretty sure this is going to be the third year, yeah, because we've already had two show birthdays. This will be our third show birthday.
But I thought we were starting our third year. You're saying we're starting our fourth year?
Yeah, we're going to be, okay. I mean, we'll turn 3 years old on August whatever, but we'll be going and embarking our fourth year as a show.
Jason Barrett, just a savvy, savvy guy.
I mean, he was, what, 1-for-3? I mean, if he was a baseball player, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. And some people might not even say he's 1-for-3. It might be like half of 1-for-3. Don't laugh at that, Austin. Don't laugh at that joke. We're being, we're making fun of ourselves, and Austin's over there cracking up.
Well, at least we got the kid to crack up. That's good. I'm happy to make him happy while he's working with us.
Yeah, but he's not allowed to laugh at our expense. You're a part-timer. You're a part-time. You're not even talent. You're a part-time producer. You're not even part-time talent. You're laughing at the bees as they make fun of themselves. We can find another producer.
When the joke hits.
I'm kidding with you, B-Rod. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713. What are you looking at me like that for?
I think we should get B-Rod. He's earned his stripes enough. Next time they go to LeBerge, I think he should be in.
It makes more sense than Joe.
Absolutely. That's where I'm going.
It makes far more sense than Joe going to LeBerge. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. It is July. We do know that. Second day of July. How much, and we touched on this a little bit, we'll keep it going. How much does this team need to make a trade? What is the need for this squad to make a trade by the deadline? And how much would you be willing to use Joey Loperfido as a trade piece? 713-780-3776 is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from my bookie. Look, we're getting closer to the holiday weekend. You're going to be sitting around watching TV. Well, why don't you make all the sports a little bit more interesting, if you will, by putting a little money down on it? And you can do that, like I always tell you to do, at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the safest and best place to invest your money when you're looking to put some money down on some sports or play some casino games, and we'll get to that in a second. But the fact is that they're always giving bonuses out to if you have a promo code like I'm about to give you. Because you listen to us and you're considering using them as the place that you go and bet on sports and casino games, mybookie.ag has created a code of bet975. When you use that code anytime and every time that they ask for it, you can cash in with more money in your account instantly. It's fantastic. More money in your account, more games you can bet on or more games you can play casino-wise, and more chances you can win. It's phenomenal, and they have all the sports. They have live in-game betting. They have ways you can follow the games right there on their website while you're doing all the other things and interacting with people as you're watching your bets. But they also have dealers standing by with live casino games. So even when there's not any games going on, or you just feel like getting away from the games and doing a little gambling like you should if you're driving to the casino or flying to Vegas, you can do it in the comfort of your own home or wherever you have your phone. Just go to mybookie.ag. Go right now, and whether you're doing a sign-up bonus or a reload bonus, there are bonuses for you waiting for you to use. And all you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, remember our promo code BET975, and do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
6941, happy birthday, Killer Bees. The day's baseball IQ wouldn't be the same without you, thanks. It's not our birthday. Our birthday's sometime in August. I don't know what the day's baseball... Well, you think he's being sincere there, or you think it's a backhanded compliment? Is it Paul?
I think it's a compliment.
Is it Paul texting in?
Paul doesn't.
You don't think so?
No.
Paul's complimented me before.
Well, that's good.
He's never complimented you.
Well, maybe he has.
I think he's won two compliment. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, he's complimented me before, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's complimented me before. I think we started in 01. I think I'm pretty sure we started in 2021. Yeah, we started 2021. I just pulled out the press release.
Okay.
That was written by Culture Map. We couldn't even get like somebody that doesn't office with us to write a story about us. We had to get somebody down the hall. Yeah, we were mid-August of 2021. Okay. So we'll turn three mid-August 2024. I don't know the exact date. Don't ask me that.
Okay.
So, we'll be embarking in our fourth year.
Open our fourth year. Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. That's how old the Killer Bees are. All right, how much does this team need to make a trade, in your opinion?
I really don't. At this point, I don't think that they really need to make the trades that I thought they needed to make a few weeks ago. I think because of the fact that, as we talked about yesterday, you saw the development, and now you really feel great about where Taylor Scott is, Seth Martinez's ability to hold down the middle innings, an inning or two when you need him as well, regardless of what Montero can or cannot do for you. The fact that Penn Murphy might be in the mix after the All-Star break and at the end of July helps you with a experienced relief pitcher that could be coming to bring you some help. You know you're getting help from at least one starting pitcher, maybe two, and you're going to get Verlander back. So I don't worry as much now because of how you've seen Hunter Brown and even Arrigetti lately progress. I think it all comes down to the bat. It comes to first base. It comes to what do you want to do and how much are you willing to give up to get where you want to go? And we don't know who the names are that are going to be out there. I mean, we were out there at the Space Cowboys last week, and we've got some indications that maybe Paul Goldschmidt isn't the guy you should look at. Like, maybe he just can't catch up to the fastball anymore, and you don't want another Abreu-type situation. You need a guy, if you're going to go get anybody and consider them playing at first base, that is capable of doing what these guys currently in the lineup, on a platoon basis, aren't doing. More pop, maybe some more consistent average. Those are the kind of things you're chasing. If you have any question marks at this point, I'm not as desperate as I was 2-3 weeks ago.
For me, it's first base. I'm with you on the pitching thing. Like, anything that you acquire, like, I'm not opposed to it. I don't want to do it at the expense of, the future. Mm-hmm. I think your rotation's been very good. Like, you had the other day Robert Flores go Cougs. He was talking about how the Astros' issues have been pitching, and more pitching and pitching, and he listed 10 things, and they were all pitching. And then you're like, okay, well, does this guy watch Astros baseball? Chandler Rome sent out a tweet today, team ERA leaders since May 1st. Astros are fifth. Like, the Astros pitching has been fine for the last 2 months, and there are reinforcements on the way, whether it's the names like Justin Verlander, whether it's a quality pitcher like Luis Garcia, whether it's the mystery of Lance McCullers, or if it's just a solid middle relief guy like Penn Murphy, who is a solid middle relief guy. So I don't think it's a necessity to trade for an arm. I'm not ignoring the luxury, and if you can find that guy out there without surrendering too much of the future, cool. Like, that's fine by me. I think the biggest hole on this team is first base. If you could find a, and not even a Vlad type, but if you could find a guy who can hit in the top six spots of this lineup, all of a sudden your lineup is really stretched out. Now you have a top four of, when you're healthy, Altuve, Tucker, Yordan, Bregman, Yiner, traded four first basemen. And then the guys that are solid, Myers, Pena, whatever you want to do in left field. So I think that first base is the position that you can acquire that would help this team the absolute most. Maybe even left field a little bit if you're not completely sold on Lopefito or Chaz. Although I think the platoon there is fine. Throw Dubon in the mix out there a little bit too. I think you can get by with what you have in left field. First base, that to me is the area where you can really take another step as a team.
Well, and also, and it's twofold, but it really comes down to who's going to be available, because you always get that big first name in like a Vladdy Jr. that's going to be out there. But if you're not willing to go that far price-wise, or that he just doesn't fit exactly what you're looking for, who are the other guys on a team that maybe fades out of the playoffs, or it becomes sellers instead of buyers? You don't know, because so many teams with the wild card are still in it to a certain degree. You know that. Whether it be Lopefito, who is probably not going to see first base except for an emergency like the other day. But in the case of Dubon, there's still going to be plenty of at-bats for him to get. He's going to still find a way into the lineup pretty consistently, or he should, whether you're giving guys days off or, you know, he's going to spend some time in center and or in left. But when you look at it, if you get a guy that brings you a ton more pop, that is capable, that you know, is available between now and the deadline, and maybe it's a rental, or maybe it's a guy that, you know, either has a really contract that's friendly to you, mm-hmm. that you like, so you're willing to give up more, or you can get a rental at a very cheap price, but is a guy that's capable, that's when you got to be, you know, hard and fast and get snap to it, because that could help you.
8807, as always, let's grab some bullpen depth and ride. No big splashes. If you can find a cheap first base upgrade, that's fine, but no Vlad-type move. That's really where I'm at, too, minus the, you know, I don't think it's as important to have the bullpen depth, because you are going to bring some arms. And we talked about the roster crunch yesterday, if everybody's just healthy, mm-hmm. before you even trade for an arm. I want a first base upgrade. I don't want it to be Vlad. I think Vlad's going to be too expensive. There's also been the reports of Toronto not interested in trading Vlad, which that might not be true, but it does tell me that they're going to have to be knocked off their feet, which means a bigger trade, more difficult to mortgage the future, et cetera, et cetera.
And I'm leery if James Click is involved in the trade. He knows your system better than anybody. You know, he probably has an axe to grind at some point, but he's going to measure the level of desperation. He's going to, you know, he's probably going to want to stick it to you if he can, but I don't know that I'm willing to give up a big package for a guy like Vlad Guerrero, especially if there are other options. Because when you think about it, some of the guys of a couple years ago when the first base position was open, I mean, Josh Bell, thank God now, there was a guy that they were chasing that's probably going to be on the market again. He's been miserably bad since, you know, he got the money and since he was traded.
Better than Abreu, though.
But so is basically a can of soup.
Sure, but that would have been a better alternative. And Mancini wasn't very good either. So, like, no. Josh Bell and Mancini were very similar. Josh Bell was a 2-year deal and cheaper. Josh Bell could have been the better option both times, and I agree with you that it was not a good option.
And even with Rizzo, which was a guy that supposedly, whether you bring Ken Rosenthal's rumors into it or not, or if that was just positioning for trying to get a deal with the Yankees are looking for a first baseman. They're not happy with Rizzo at all, and they re-signed him.
We got hurt, too.
Well, they were looking before he got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might be in on the Vlad thing. So I'm good upgrading at first, probably not on Vlad. It doesn't scare me, the Click thing. Like, I understand, like, it's a valid reason. I just think it's defeatist attitude. Like, well, I'm so scared of the guy over there. No, go win a trade. Like, be that son of a gun. Be the dude that wins every trade. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rob, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Rob?
Hey guys, appreciate you taking my call. I just had a quick comment on the trade market, both pitching and first base. I don't really see the need to trade anybody for the bullpen. Obviously, we hope Luis Garcia comes back like the Luis Garcia of old. Then you'll have, once Verlander comes back, you'll have six starters. And once you get into the playoffs, you'll see at least one, if not two, of those guys bump into the long relief, like what we've seen in the past, like Hunter Brown did a couple of years ago. So I think we're going to be set there. And unless a trade for first baseman makes us exponentially better, I don't see the need of doing that either. I think you give Lopefito multiple games, see if he can play the position, see if he can swing it at a level that we need. Still got Mauricio Dubon, who I believe should never be out of the lineup. And once you get Kyle Tucker back, the outfield is going to get even more crowded. So unless we can hit first baseman, it just really makes it much, much better. I really don't see the need just for a little small step up.
Appreciate the call, Rob. Look, I think the one thing that I would push back on is, because Joey Lopefito, no matter how much power he had in the minors. He just hasn't had that same kind of pop in the on the big league level, though he's been a more consistent hitter for average. When you look at the two guys that are doing what they're doing at first base currently, regardless if you want Dubon to be more flexible or not, the one thing is, can you get more pop from a guy at a corner infield position? Because that's a premium power position for you in any lineup.
Dubon's hitting below what like an average first baseman would be. Now, to Rob's point, is there going to be a huge step up on the market at first base? That remains to be seen. Just to kind of truth bomb Mauricio Dubon a little bit, I like Mauricio Dubon on this roster a lot. I do think he's your best option at first base that you currently have. I think there's some similarities to Mauricio Dubon in last 3 year Yuli Gurriel, like the Yuli Gurriel that lost power, that was still, you know, a good defensive first baseman, was a very good contact guy, but wasn't hitting for the power that he used to. I think there's some similarities between Dubon and the last 3 year Yuli Gurriel. Mauricio Dubon, the last 28 days, is a .289 on base percentage and a .689 OPS. That's not very good for a first base. That's not good for an offensive player, period. But especially at first base. Now, even his season totals are like, okay, I don't know if I love that at first base. A .714 OPS on the year at first base? That's below average relative to the first base position. Is he your best option? Yes, he's your best option. Now, to Rob's point, why don't you give Joey Loprofito 2 weeks and then see how desperate you are to trade for a first baseman? I think that would be something that the Astros should consider. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, we've been behind the eight ball. We're not trying to experiment. We're in win-now mode, non-general manager Jeff Bagwell said. So those are factored into that. But you're not going to know if Joey Loprofito is the answer by not playing him for a significant – like today he's in the lineup. He didn't play the previous three games.
Right.
So – are they telling you that he's not the first baseman of the – I mean, I think they have told you he's not the first baseman of the future, but could he be the first baseman for the rest of the year? Because I don't think Dubon's that guy. I don't think Singleton's that guy. Quite frankly, I don't think Loprofito's the guy, but he might be.
He might be, but at the same time, he needs the reps to see if he could be for the rest of the season. And just using him because you had no other option really to go to the other day in Toronto – I mean, in New York – it's not giving him enough of an opportunity to see what we've seen and seen tweets deleted because of the fact that he's shown on the AAA level he can play first base. They've been resistant to it. They don't really like it. And even though Abreu's gone, I don't know why they're still not trying to at least see if it's going to work or not, because you have nothing to lose, really, and you could gain another capable body and another spot to fill in the lineup with a guy that's been hitting the baseball. So you know, you want to try it out. For some reason or another, maybe he won't get that opportunity this year. I don't know, but I would be monitoring it closely between now and the deadline, because with each passing day, teams are going to start realizing it's just not going to be our year.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, a better option then pops up.
Yeah, you need to be kicking the tires. And if you can't do it because the price is too much, okay, you can't do it because the price is too much. But absolutely, you got to be looking, which you should always be looking. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Would you include Loprofito in a package for a significant player? And what do you do with this Astros offensive logjam that you have right now? The outfield logjam, I mean. What do you do with this outfield logjam that the Astros have going on? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bs on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at that NeoGraft procedure as well as PRP. And if you haven't been introduced to one or the other, I have a great way right now where you could sit down and talk to Doc Linville and his staff and figure out if you can get your hair back. Because with Doc Linville, it's your hair and it comes back and you get it back. And the procedures that they do work. They're not gimmicky. They're not sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem. They actually get you the results that you're looking for and can increase everything about your enthusiasm towards your appearance when it comes to your hair, because you are seeing the results and you continue to see them progress each and every passing day. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com, sign up for a free consultation. That consultation costs $150 out on the street, but because you listen to us, you're interested in them, you get that consultation for free. Go in and ask all the questions. Find out about PRP, which is basically like your lawn still has blades of grass, but they're just not as thick and long as they used to be. By fertilizing them with PRP, you can get thicker, longer, stronger hair again. And then the whole NeoGraft procedure. Essentially, Doc explained it to me. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He takes some of that, like taking sod and putting it in a spot where you have a bare spot in your lawn. You take some of that around the sides and the back of your head, put it where you need it, And in 6 to 9 months, you will see unbelievable results taken from an area where it's never going to go away. 95 to 99% of the follicles moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the rest of your life. It is a game changer from that respect. They aren't going to be a gimmicky thing that doesn't work. And the main thing there is that you're going to see the follicles the very next day when you get done with the procedure. But they're actually going to be at their utmost best in about 6 to 9 months, and it's fantastic. Tell them I sent you by. I had the NeoGraft procedure and the PRP. I could not be happier with the results. You could be the next in line. Go to 975hair.com.
Blank Bradham B, 713-780-ESPN, 8693. Astros need to chill with putting Yordan in the outfield. Should only be Fromber's starts. Y'all see him try to slide and catch a ball his last time out there. Terrible, and he's going to get hurt.
Easy now. 51 times, then we can sit him down.
Preaching to the choir. I don't like him out there. Bet aside.
Yeah, no, it's not smart.
Yeah, I don't like him out there. His bat's too important. But Kyle Tucker's hurt right now. Maybe no. I'm not gonna defend a spotter for that one. I don't like that one at all. Would you include Lo Perfido in a trade package? King of Twitch says that he would, but only for Pete Alonso, which that would be a rental and that would be pretty costly. Would you include Lo Perfido there?
I just think if those are the two names that you're kicking around, I wouldn't. I think that in the case of Alonso, like you said, he's a rental. And in the case of Guerrero, it's like a year and a half or whatever we got left of this season and one more after that. And I'm not sure that he is the answer. So I don't think they're going to do what he's looking for contract wise after that anyway. Both guys are going to walk. And I think Joey Lo Perfido is a guy that's probably going to be around and a part of this team for the next 3 to 5 years minimum.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would do that for one of those two guys.
Do you think he's an everyday outfielder, corner outfielder? Do you think he will be an everyday starter for the Stros?
I don't. I don't know.
Then why are you hesitant to trade him?
I don't know power-wise if he's going to be a corner outfielder.
Lo Perfido? I think he'll have for power.
You think he will? It'll come around eventually?
Yeah, I do.
I think that he can be more consistent in terms of hitting for average and keep doing what he's doing, not striking out as much. I wonder why the power has disappeared so drastically from where he was. I'm not expecting him to do the same things he did in Sugarland and lead all of the minors and all in professional baseball and home runs at one point.
Yeah.
I just need to see more pop from him to be a corner outfielder. So that's a concern of mine.
I think he is an everyday corner outfielder. And you do have some uncertainty at that position. Like if you're looking at long-term corner outfielders on this team, you might not have one. Kyle Tucker is in the final year next year. Chaz McCormick is a fringe everyday left fielder. Not sure he is that. So, like, what you got? Like, you got some minor leaguers. You have Melton, who's your top prospect, but that you know that's not a guarantee. You don't have anybody who is a lock to be a starting corner outfielder beyond 2025. So, I think that Lo Perfido is the best that you got right now. So, I do think he would be an everyday corner outfielder. So, I would be hesitant to trade him. Wouldn't be opposed to it if you get a guy who like has club control, who can be around for more than a 6 months or more than a year and a half. So I'm not completely taking him off like my list. Like he's not on a no trade list, but he would be like it would take a sweetheart deal for the right situation, the right player to move him.
Here's where I'll get creative in terms of those two first basemen I mentioned. I don't think I want to include him in either one of those deals.
I would agree with that.
But if you're going to tell me that a team that's trying to sell out is going to throw in a corner outfielder proposition of a guy that has some team control, that's got, you know, all the things that we're looking for in terms of a good defensive outfielder, got some pop, can hit it pretty decently for average.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at that deal going, if there's a team out there that has that guy under contract that is looking to get younger and kind of press the reset button and look at a guy like Joey Lo Perfido, I get a guy that's more advanced in his progressions, and I can get him for a couple more years.
Yeah.
That's a different discussion.
That's one that's probably the only scenario I'd be willing to do that. I'm not trading Lo Perfido for a 3-month rental, and I'm not trading him for a year and 3-month rental. It would have to be somebody who I anticipate to be a corner outfielder for me for at least like 3 years, which again, like pretty much diminishes the odds of that happening and Joey Lo Perfido being traded, but that's what it would require for me. What do you do right now with this Astros outfield logjam? Because you do have one right now, even without Kyle Tucker. Joey Lo Perfido had 3 days off in a row before being in the starting lineup today. Chaz McCormick, good year last year, hasn't been very good this year. He's in that mix. Trey Cabbage has actually been pretty solid for you. How would you handle this Astros logjam until until Kyle Tucker comes back.
Well, I think based on what we were just talking about with Yordan as well, but also the fact that knowing that Yiner is going to get the majority of the starts at catcher because you don't know when Caratini's coming back, so that takes him out of the DH mix anyways, I'm going to ride the hot hand. And if it ain't Chaz anymore, I'm not going to force feed him into this lineup. Yeah, he had the game where he had the two bombs. He's been hit or miss, literally, but also just way more missed than hit. And Lo Profeto, I don't think, should be sitting for the amount of time that he sat since he got his last start. But if you get a guy, if Lo Profeto plays tonight and gets a knock or two and looks good, I'm throwing him back out there. I'm going to play the matchups. I'm going to play, you know, situational as well. But I think that I'm going to rotate and play the hot hand first and foremost. And Joey Lo Profeto deserves at this point in time to probably have consideration over Chaz McCormick.
I would just play Lo Profeto for the next 2 weeks to figure out if I need to make a trade. And I would play Chaz McCormick for the next 2 weeks to figure out if he's going to be 2023 Chaz McCormick. And I'm sorry, Trey Cabbage, you're the odd man out, but you got to be the odd man out because I'm going to figure out what these other two guys are. Until Tucker's back, that's what I would do almost every single day. Now, if you have like a tough lefty on the mound, well, I mean, you can't play all – you can play Dubon out there, I guess. So certain situations, maybe you can nitpick a little bit. But I would be playing Lo Profeto and Chaz almost every single game until Kyle Tucker comes back.
Yeah, I'm not even considering Cabbage. I appreciate what he's done so far. But, they also did him a solid by resurrecting his career, going and getting him. And he hasn't done anything to really disappoint you at this point. But I think that there's a lot more stock in the two guys ahead of him.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, you got to see what you have with both guys. You ideally, if Chaz, kind of starts coming on, you got a good problem on your hands because you could either have him as trade bait again if teams are interested, or he's a guy that allows you the luxury of not having to make a trade for another outfielder because you got him. And with Joey Lo Profeto, you truly want to see, can he find more power? Is he going to continue to be the kind of guy that can get base hits on a regular basis? Those are things that you'd like to figure out quickly so that by the time the trade deadline comes around, it's not too late to try and make a move if you feel like you need one.
Yeah, yeah. Cabbage might be the best of the three right now, but I don't think he's an everyday starter, whereas Lo Profeto potentially could be, and Chaz was last year. So you collect information, figure out who they are. 713-780-ESPN, how would you handle the Astros outfield long jam? 713-780-3776. I don't know if y'all have seen this. Malik Hooker talked about how Micah Parsons being on a podcast, and then all of a sudden if he plays poorly, then he shouldn't be having a podcast. What do we make of this Hooker-Parsons beef? And who is the one Texan you would like Malik Hooker to deliver this type of message to? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.